This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. Have you ever wondered how, in a nation filled with millions of self-identifying Christians, we have a government which shoves God out of public life, imposes things God says are evil, and forcibly takes money and resources from those who work for it to give it to others who don't?
Well, in America, we get the government we deserve. And honestly, there are many decent Christian people who don't bother to vote. Or if they do vote, they vote for politicians who embrace agendas that oppose biblical principles. In just a little over 6 weeks, America will go to the polls in a major national election, the midterms. When you vote, will you vote Christianly? And why have so many Christians given up on the political realm? Well, we'll look into that on today's program.
And I'm John Sorensen. Later in the program, I'll share with you the good news of God's plan for your life.
In a few minutes, we'll share an essential new resource to help you vote from a Christian perspective. But first, my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, shares with us a powerful and important message on our obligations as Christian voters that's just as relevant today as it was when he preached it in 1988. It's called Christian Citizenship.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 15. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And may God speak to our hearts today through this portion of his holy word. Amen. Someone who recently traveled abroad visiting a number of communist countries came back and was again reminded and astounded at how much freedom we have in this country compared to most of the nations of the world, a freedom which is rapidly becoming a rare commodity in the world in which we live. So, remembering the words of Jesus who said, Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's, we see that we have a double responsibility. Not only to render unto God those responsibilities which he has directed, but also to render to Caesar those things which are a part of our responsible citizenship. But first, let us notice from whence we came, and then let's consider where we are, how we got here, and what we can do about it. This nation, unlike some countries, for example, such as Australia, which began as a penal colony and has had to work its way up from that, America began with godly men who came to these shores to worship Jesus Christ. We all came into these parts of America, they said, for one and the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider where we have come from that exalted beginning. Now we live in a nation which is filled with dangers. There are many dangerous places that you could be now as an American. But the most dangerous place that anyone can be in America today is in their mother's womb. More babies were killed in their mother's womb last year than have died in all of the wars that we have fought since the Revolution. What happened along the way from Plymouth Rock? Who is responsible? Is it the atheist or the humanist? Upon whom shall we lay the blame? My friends, we have to acknowledge that a great deal of the blame must rest upon us, must be laid at the doorstep of the church. We have failed to obey the Great Commission in this country as a whole. We have failed to obey the cultural mandate to be involved in every sphere of activity. We have retreated from politics and government and the media and higher education, and we have left it to unbelievers. We have failed to fulfill our responsibilities as citizens. We have failed to obey the command of Christ to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, we didn't create this monster with our own hands, but we allowed it to grow up and to take power, where with the power of government and the colleges and the courts and the legislatures and the media, it has wreaked this disaster, this carnage in America today. And therefore, I think we must realize that much of the blame rests with us. Christians have failed to fulfill their responsibilities as citizens in this country. And we have allowed this great blessing of a godly nation to slip through our hands. A lady walking out the door who works in one of our precincts said that the average turnout in her precinct is 10%. Half of those that are registered never vote. And a good number of those few that do don't even know what they're voting for. They're not informed. When will we wake up? I thank God for those who have awakened a long time ago and who are active, who are obeying not only the Great Commission but the cultural mandate, who are not only rendering unto God but they're rendering unto Caesar what they should. But the result of this fact that the majority have not is we have a judicial system, a Supreme Court, which is either ignorant of or hostile to the basic biblical principles upon which this nation was founded, and legislatures that pass laws that are completely antithetical to the law of God. Court decisions have produced this pornography, produced this abortion, and court decisions have produced the great increase in crime in this country, coddling criminals and even sending first-degree murderers home for weekend passes has made our criminal justice system a joke and has made our nation unsafe to live in. The purpose of government is to defend its citizens and to restrain evildoers that we may live godly and peaceable lives. That is the purpose of government. But we have had government that all too often has failed to defend its citizens and has encouraged evildoers rather than restraining them. How do we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? First of all, we should pray regularly, faithfully, daily for those who are in power, for our president and vice president, for our cabinet, for their cabinet, the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Senate, the House, and those who rule locally. Secondly, we should register to vote. Christians have had it in their power to change all of these things that we lament and complain and grumble about constantly, and we just haven't done it. Voting for non-Christian Americans is a privilege and a responsibility. For Christians, it is a duty demanded by God that we should fulfill. Thirdly, we should become informed so we don't simply walk into a voter's booth and close our eyes and punch holes in things, and then get involved. Do more than just vote. Support candidates of your choice. There are many Christians who have run for office who have lamented that they receive very little help from other Christians. Support candidates, work for them, run for office, and of course, vote. My friends, we can change America. People made it what it is, and we can make it what it ought to be. Do you really believe that? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. And Jesus Christ tells us to be faithful citizens of this country. Remember those men who worked indefatigably, who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on producing this country, who are willing to sacrifice everything, and many of them gave their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms and the blessings of this nation. But we are letting it slip through our fingers like sand in this generation. And I wonder how many people will have to say to their grandchildren when they ask, Granddaddy, where were you when America lost its freedom? What were you doing? What were you doing when America became a godless nation? What did you do to stop that? We can stop it and we can change it if we'll simply be obedient to what Jesus Christ told us to do and fulfill our responsibilities as Christian citizens. All the blessings which this nation has enjoyed have come from Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to bring Him and His teachings and His gospel back to this country. And of course, ultimately, people need to come to know that gospel of grace, to know Him who loved us and died for us that we might have eternal life. And if you are here today or listening to my voice and you do not know Him and you've never accepted Him as Savior and Lord, then you're part of the problem and not part of the solution. I urge you right now to repent of your sins and to ask Him to come into your heart and to change your life, to cleanse you and renew you and transform you and give you a godly heart and mind and a desire for a godly America, that we can once more say, God bless America, land of the free. May we pray. Father, bless this, our native land. And yet, O God, we know it is only by thy grace that thou dost not destroy it. So vile it has become in many ways, and how it must grieve thy heart. O Lord, may our hearts be grieved as well. Forgive us. We haven't been willing to stake our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor upon the cause of freedom and a Christian nation. Help us, Lord, to do that. Change America, we pray, O God, and do it through us. We thank thee, O God, that all over this nation, churches are urging their people to become involved in changing this country. That Christians are waking up at last. Oh God, may there be a great awakening. And may unbelievers stand in amazement at what is done by the power of thy Spirit. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'm sure that many of you watching this program know Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord and understand His providence in the founding and preserving of this great nation. But perhaps some of you were stirred when Dr. Kennedy spoke of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, even urging you to repent of your sins. Now, we don't often talk about sin in our society today, and yet, if you look at the internet news headlines or watch the evening news, you quickly realize that we have a sin problem in our world. And you know that sin separates us from an all-holy God. It's important to understand that sin isn't just those things that make the headlines, but sin is anything that displeases God. Are you a sinner in need of a Savior? Well, I know I certainly was. And then one day, someone shared with me the greatest news that anyone could hear, and that is that heaven is an absolutely free gift. It's not something that we can earn or deserve, but it was purchased for us by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. If you'd like to receive the gift of eternal life, you can right now by transferring your trust from your own efforts to be good enough to the one who was perfect in every way, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, we can go to God in prayer right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins and I ask you to come into my heart and to change my life, to cleanse me, to transform me. Please give me a godly heart and mind so that I may live right with you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, well, I'd like to say, welcome to the family of God. We have a gift that we'd like to send you. It's a book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers called Beginning Again. And that's what you're doing right now. This book will help you in that journey. To receive your copy, write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
As Dr. Kennedy explained in his message today, we Christians are instructed to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And that doesn't only mean paying our taxes, it means praying for a nation and using our votes to influence the country toward righteousness.
Too often, Christians have shrunk back from that responsibility. But the message that we can make a decisive difference with God's help is breaking through. As you're about to see, with the future of America on the line, many Christians are rediscovering God's call to influence the culture for Christ.
It's my belief that as the church goes, so goes the nation. But frankly, as the pastor goes, so goes the church. You know, if the statistic that's most often quoted is 50% of those who self-identify as born-again Christians are registered to vote. But the tragic number is only 50% of the 50% actually vote. And that statistic comes from a national election for president. When you get into off your political efforts, school board, city council, where the next generation of leaders are forged, those elections hinge on 6 to 10% turnout. Tragically, God's judgment on America may be that we reap the reward of our own apathy.
So why do so many Christians stay away from the polls on election day? Experts say there are several reasons, chief among them, the notion that the church should only preach the gospel and not be involved in politics.
That view says if we get involved in trying to influence government, it doesn't bring anybody into the kingdom. It doesn't do any spiritual good. And my response to that is that the Bible commands us to do good works. That means loving our neighbor as ourselves. That means bringing up our children according to biblical teachings. That means acting as Christians in the business world or the world of education. That means being a good neighbor. That's just another aspect of good works.
You are not only a Christian citizen of heaven, you're also a citizen of this world. You are a citizen of your city, your county, your state, your nation. And as a citizen, you have responsibility to your fellow citizens to do what you can to provide a safe, a free, a just society in which all of us live. Law plays a proper function in curtailing sin. So we have a responsibility to seek to use laws to restrain the outward sinful conduct of people, even where we can't use them, we never can use them, to change people's hearts.
If I truly love my neighbor, I want laws that will protect my neighbor's marriage, that will give good education to my neighbor, that will protect my neighbor's health and well-being and economic well-being, so the government doesn't steal everything from us. And I think it is a way of obeying Jesus' command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Another reason for Christian voter apathy is discouragement with the available choices.
Every vote I've ever cast has been toward the lesser of two evils, because to date, Jesus has not run for public office. We're never going to have a perfect candidate. So you look at what the two candidates believe, ask yourself the question, which one most represents the values that I believe are biblical? And the one who grades highest is the one who ought to get your vote. But you never have the option as a Christian to set it out, to do nothing. For to do nothing is a sin against God, who gave you the freedom to vote.
As the pastor of the thriving First Baptist Church in Pearland, Texas, Rick Scarborough discovered the need for Christian involvement in the political realm firsthand.
We had wonderful ministry at First Baptist Pearland, especially the first 18 months in which we baptized 500 people into the church. But in that 18th month, I bumped into a high school assembly that forever changed the course of my ministry and my approach to ministry. I found out about the assembly. I chose to attend it. I sat in the back of the assembly, and there was a speaker by the name of Amy making all the area high schools talking about, as we often refer to it, safe sex. Of course, her definition of safe sex was to have any sex you want, any time you want, anywhere you want, just use a condom. It was so far beyond the pale of decency that I felt, both as a pastor and a parent, that I had to speak out, and I did.
Rick's own daughter was a student at the school. When he went to confront the school board about the graphic sexual lecture given to students, he discovered that Christians were largely missing from positions of influence in the district.
In 2002, after 12 years in Pearland, I resigned the church, and I began traveling full-time trying to awaken pastors. If pastors don't get involved in confronting the moral issues of our day biblically, we'll soon digress to become a lawless nation. And frankly, we're on the very edge of that right as we speak. Our country is becoming an immoral country because so many preachers have withdrawn from the culture completely.
There is no part of life that is neutral, to which Christ doesn't say, it's mine. No part of life. And there is no neutrality on any moral issue whatsoever. And all of life is religious.
The Bible does tell us that God will hold us accountable for how we act. I think that includes all of life, and certainly it includes how we have acted in responsibility toward influencing government. When we live in a democracy, as we do here in the United States, we have a portion in the governance of the nation, and I think we have a responsibility to use that authority rightly.
You never know when the sun's going to burst forth in terms of dramatic change. You know, on the eve before the resurrection, Jesus was still in the tomb. Just 3 days before the deliverance of all the sin of mankind was the crucifixion of the Savior. God does His best work just after crucifixion. At the darkest moment of the night, the sun begins breaking forward. This is not the time to stop. It's the time to march forward in faith. For in due time we shall reap if we faint not. If we would simply do due diligence and vote our biblical values, we could change this culture in a matter of 10 years, 2.5 election cycles. It's that simple. When we show up, we win. And it's time now for the church to show up.
The time for Christians to abandon politics has come to an end. Voting is the most basic duty of a citizen. Why do we as Christians buy into this notion that somehow politics is dirty and Christians should avoid it? Instead, we Christians are obligated to be like prophets in the Old Testament, standing up and declaring to our government through our vote, "Thus saith the Lord."
It certainly is possible that well-meaning Christians may disagree on some of the issues, but there are some issues where the Bible is clear, and yet many Christians have lost sight of that. That's why we put together seven of Dr. Kennedy's most essential messages on major moral issues that face us in the voting booth. This seven DVD series is called How Should We Then Vote? And it's yours for a generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. To receive your set, please send a generous donation to Box 6085, Albert Lee, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. In the How Should We Then Vote series, Dr. Kennedy pulls no punches as to what God's Word has to say about abortion, same-sex marriage, religious liberty, socialism, war and national defense, and other pressing issues. This series by Dr. Kennedy cuts through the misleading political rhetoric and lays the biblical truth bare. This seven DVD series, How Should We Then Vote, is a must-have for your library and to share with your family and friends. Again, this set is available only through this ministry for your generous gift of any amount for a limited time only. It's also available on audio CD, so let us know which one you prefer. And we've also put together a brand new book to help you with these questions as well, called the 2014 Biblical Guide to Voting. This short book provides a guide to a biblical perspective on more than 20 current issues. It presents them in clear and easy to understand language and explains the biblical principles that undergird them. You'll definitely want both of these resources in time for the election in November, so contact us right away. You can get either the DVD set or the book or both for your generous donation of any amount. Please write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lee, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. And go to our website beginning this Thursday, September 25th, to join us for our 40 days of prayer for the election.
Perhaps you can give $60 or $70 or even $100 or more. It's your donations and your prayers that keep this ministry going, and we are very grateful. So please be sure to send a generous gift today. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless you as you stand with us.
And may God bless America with repentance and a national spiritual awakening.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
How could you have lived during all of that and never lifted a hand or lifted your voice to stop it?
You want to see what it looks like when the government controls our health care? Look at what happened with the Veterans Administration.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.